your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate our faith into all the areas of our lives. And on this program, we like to start with a scripture reading. I have two today, and these have been really strong words from the Lord. I'm going to start. They're both in the Old Testament. Let's start with Deuteronomy 8, and it's just verses 15 through 18. I want you to listen for the key word in this passage, remember. It goes like this. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. Remember the Lord your God, the key passage for me there. So we have one more verse I'm going to read here in just a second, but I just want to touch down on how that passage from Deuteronomy has touched my heart this week. This is the Lent season, build up 40 days prior to Resurrection Sunday or Easter. And it's just a great time of remembrance. And so this passage brought that forefront for me. And I've had some chats with the Lord throughout the week, remembering what he's done for me, and then asking him to remind me of his gracious love and mercy to me. And it's just been a wonderful time in the Lord. And I encourage all of our listeners to read Deuteronomy chapter 8, again, 15 through 18. One more verse. This is also from the Old Testament, the prophet Habakkuk. It's chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Goes like this. Even though the fig trees are all destroyed and there is neither blossom left or fruit, though the olive crops all fail and the fields lie barren, even if the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are all empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be happy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will give me the speed of a deer and bring me safely over the mountain. Again, another passage that it just did a lot for me this week. If you've ever been through a season where there are, quote, no cattle or the cattle barns are empty, if you've ever been through that season, you know what I'm talking about. Yet God speaks through the prophet Habakkuk. And he ends with, yet I will rejoice in the Lord regardless of my circumstances. So again, thank you for listening. On this program, we share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith. We now have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes, and we also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. This is Jeff Gaffney. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're going to be right back with today's special guest. Please stay with us.
And in your hour of desperation, know you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in today. With us on the program, this is going to be a treat. We have Jerry McDermott, who is the Anglican Chair of Divinity at Beeson Divinity School. He's also the author or editor of 17 books, three of which I have my hands on and I've really been enjoying. And he's coming to town for the Festival of the Book. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the book that he's bringing on the Festival of the Book weekend. And Jerry, I'm so excited to talk with you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, Jeff, you're welcome. It's my privilege to be on your show.
Well, with all our guests, we like to find out about your faith journey. So can you talk to us a little bit about how you got to know Jesus?
Well, Jeff, I've got a strange faith journey. I grew up a Roman Catholic in Boston, New York, and Philadelphia, went to a Jesuit high school in New York City, then went to the University of Chicago for my first undergraduate degree, where I promptly lost my faith following the example of most of my fellow students there and my professors. And then I regained it through the Catholic Charismatic Movement in 1971, back before some of your listeners were born, I imagine. But I had experienced the fear of God. As a Catholic boy, that kept me out of a lot of trouble as a teenager. And I'm very thankful for the fear of God that I learned from the Catholic Church. And I think that was, to some degree, a knowledge of God. But then I came to know Jesus through the Catholic Charismatic Movement and the Holy Spirit through the Catholic Charismatic Movement. Then in college at the University of Chicago, after I had this conversion experience, I wound up in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship at Chicago. Turned away from the Catholic Church, became a self-confessed evangelical. After college, joined a Christian commune, lived in several Christian communes in Indiana, met my wife in the commune. We moved to a commune on the border of Mexico for our first year of marriage. It had 400 orange and grapefruit trees and cows and pigs and chickens. And I ran a little two-room schoolhouse there. And then we moved to a commune in Fargo, North Dakota. We bought an old hotel. 200 of us lived in this old hotel in downtown Fargo, and my wife made meals three meals a day, every day, for 200 people. Wow. And I worked in the school there. And then we left the school. We left the commune after a few years, and I started an interdenominational Christian school. Did that for 3 years, got it up and going. It was going strong and still is going very, very strong today, K through 12. And went back to grad school, got a PhD at the University of Iowa, left there, got a job at Roanoke College in Virginia, where I taught for 26 years undergraduates, and then 3 years ago came here to Beeson Divinity School. And I'm now an Anglican priest, as you suggested. So I moved from being a low church evangelical to a high church Anglican, but convinced of orthodoxy as being the only way to go.
Talk to us for our listeners about, because I hear from a lot of our listeners who have the church thing going, but they haven't quite developed a relationship with Jesus. Can you talk about the difference from your perspective kind of throughout the years as we've listened to your faith journey?
Well, I mean, that's what happened to me when I was 18, a personal relationship with Christ. That was different from having a relationship, as it were, only with the Father that I'd grown up with in church. So coming into a full knowledge of all three persons of the Trinity and not just the first person of the Trinity, I think, Jeff, it came through good preaching and simply reading the Bible.
Yes.
It's hard to read the Gospels and not get to know Jesus in a whole new way. Mm-hmm. If you're open to the Holy Spirit working on your mind and your heart.
talk to me about how you grew up and then your conversion and the importance that reading scripture, the Bible, as we refer to it on the show, the Word of God. Talk to me, if you would, about the importance of the Word of God kind of post-conversion.
Well, post-conversion, and I, you know, I got to know Jesus personally in this Catholic charismatic group where I believe that by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, Scripture tells us, spoke to me personally through words of prophecy in this charismatic group, said things to me that this person who is the voice could not possibly have known about me. Mm. It's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 is a word of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And that convinced me that Jesus was real. And then reading him in the Gospels, I just got this overwhelming desire to know the Bible and to read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would stay up nights just reading the Bible. I just had a voracious appetite for Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the church fathers say that you can't know Christ without knowing his word.
Mm.
And I think that's true. That you have to go beyond church, although you have to go through church. We can't just be me and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We need an Orthodox church to teach us the true Jesus, because there's a lot of false Jesuses out there. But it's especially by reading the Gospels and the Epistles that our vision of Jesus becomes sharper.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host. We're talking with Jerry McDermott. Jerry, talk to me now about today, right now, in the kind of comings and goings of your life today. You still tuning into the Word? Are you still hungry for the Word? Are you still going after Jesus every day in the Word?
Well, yes. Now, I have found, Jeff, over the years, that using liturgy and the sacraments is absolutely, is so, so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, you know, as a priest, I took a vow to do the daily office every day.
Okay.
That's morning prayer and evening prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And there are readings for each day of the church year. In Old Testament, in the Psalms, and in the New Testament, every single day. So this morning I had morning prayer with my wife,
mm-hmm.
where we read the gorgeous liturgy of morning prayer that comes down from the early church in the Book of Common Prayer, that's Anglican.
Mm-hmm.
And we read a chapter of Deuteronomy this morning. Mm-hmm. We read several Psalms. And then we read a chapter in Mark's Gospel this morning.
Mm.
And, you know, and then we'll do the same thing tonight in evening prayer. And so it's not only, so it's listening to God speak to us through Scripture.
Yes.
And every time I read Scripture, the Holy Spirit shows me new things.
Mm.
And then using the prayers of the early church to pray to God and worship God. So it's not enough just to read. It must be combined with prayer and worship.
That's a good word. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're talking with Jerry McDermott. Jerry, we're going to take a break here in just a second, and I can't wait to talk about your several books, but I want to talk about the one that you're bringing to Charlottesville pretty soon. But I wonder if you just have a quick comment on this. I've had a couple of friends who are trying to have that personal relationship with Jesus, and they've kind of come to this realization that maybe they've been living on the wrong side of the cross, meaning the Jesus that they have sort of known is the Jesus who died on the cross, and it stops there, when in fact we know—
Oh, I just lost you.
Are you still there?
Now you just came back.
Sorry, Jerry. Long story short, the Jesus that we worship is alive and victorious. And oftentimes what I'm hearing from men is that they struggle with, they have felt like their faith stops at the cross. It doesn't cross over, if you will. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I think what they might be saying is they don't know the living Jesus.
Yes.
Of the resurrection.
Right.
The resurrected Jesus that all they're familiar with is the Jesus who died for them 2,000 years ago.
Yes.
And of course, Jesus did die to reconcile us to the Father, and he rose again for our justification, Scripture says. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is he wants to get to know us personally.
Mm.
He wants us to receive him and say yes to him and take up our cross each day and follow him. Especially in this time of the church year, Lent. So, Jesus is a living, resurrected Lord.
Yes.
Who wants to continue to lead us today, day by day, and receive our worship and speak to us and love us each day.
Amen. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're talking with Jerry McDermott. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Everyday Faith Radio. Please stay with us.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in today. What a treat. Excuse me. We have Jerry McDermott with us. Jerry is the Anglican Chair of Divinity at Beeson Divinity School. He's also an author of many, many books, three of which I have in my possession. Jerry, I have been going through one of your smaller books, The Baker Pocket Guide to World Religions. I found that excellent, a great resource.
Thank you.
And now I also have one of your thicker books, The Theology of Jonathan Edwards. Wow, is that awesome.
Well, thank you. I think I need to hire you as a publicist.
No, I mean, I can't wait to dive back in. Now, just full disclosure to our listeners, I've only read a chapter, but it is really, really good. And I'm getting so much out of that book. But I want to talk about, in the time we have left on the program, you're coming to town on March 24th for the Festival of the Book at 2:00 at Barnes & Noble's on March 24th. You're going to be talking about your book, Famous Stutterers. And I wondered if you would just walk us through, tell us about the book. I read the first chapter. It's awesome. And tell us how this book came to be and a little bit about it.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Famous Stutterers, the subtitle really should be From Moses to Marilyn Monroe.
Mm.
I'm a stutterer. Until I went through the world's best stuttering therapy, I could never have done this interview on your radio show, Jeff. Life speaking was very, very painful, as it is for any moderate stutterer. Picking up the phone is frightening.
Mm.
Speaking in public is terrifying. Mm. Speaking even in ordinary situations, going to the bank, going to a store and having to ask for something can be debilitating.
Mm.
So for years, I kept a list of famous stutterers because every stutterer goes through pain and is curious about other people who stutter. Are there some famous people who made it big in spite of their stuttering? So I would keep a list. And my sons would always say, Dad, write that up as a book. Write a book about some of these famous stutterers.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said, well, yeah, I'd like to someday, but I don't have time. I've got all these other books I want to write.
Mm-hmm.
But about 5 years ago, I finally sat down and I said, I'm just going to carve out time every week and work on this book. And it was the first secular book I've written. Now I've done 19 books. Number 19 is coming out this fall. Or maybe it's number 20, I forget. But anyway, this is the only secular book I've ever written. All the rest have to do with religion in some way. And this was the most fun book I ever wrote. It was so much fun. I just really enjoyed writing it. So it's 12 stutterers: Moses, Aristotle, Demosthenes, Joshua Chamberlain, the great hero of the Battle at Gettysburg, at least the hero for people in the North, I must add. King George VI, you know, the famous movie, The King's Speech. Winston Churchill, surprising. Peter Brown, the great early church historian. Marilyn Monroe. John Stossel of now Fox News, used to be on. John Glenn, the great astronaut and U.S. senator. Byron Pitts, the African-American TV journalist who is now on, I think, ABC or CBS. And the great American novelist, John Updike.
Can you take us through, since this is Everyday Faith, I'm going to zero in on the Moses, and I've read the Moses chapter, and it blows me away that that God would choose a man who, how did the Bible describe Moses? He didn't call him a stutterer, but he was a, what did he say? He was slow of tongue or something?
Slow of tongue.
Slow of tongue. So it blows me away that God chooses the man who's slow of tongue, who's going to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." I mean, I love the fact that for us humans, that doesn't make sense, but we kind of come back to this thing where, you know, we, the people, look at the outside, but God looks at the heart.
Yeah, you know, actually, literally, for those of your listeners who know Hebrew, it's heavy of mouth and heavy of tongue. But you're right. God chose him. He had this terrible disability, and that's, I argue in this chapter, as you just read, That's probably the main reason why when God came to Moses and said, "I want you to lead your people, and I'm going to help you out of slavery in Egypt," Moses said, "No, God, you must be making a mistake.
You're choosing the wrong guy."
Exactly.
And I do have this theological question about Moses that I'm going to slip into you, Jerry, maybe if you don't mind, about Moses. At this time, he's about 80 years old. Is that correct?
Yes.
Somewhere in that.
I believe so,
range.
Yeah.
Okay. So is it fair to say then that Moses didn't really know God until he was 80?
I would not say that.
Okay.
He did not know God's name as Yahweh, the particularity of who the true God is. But I would say, and Jonathan Edwards agrees with me, or I agree with Jonathan Edwards, that someone can have a relationship with God and know something of the true God, but only in a very inchoate, in a very, what we might say, vague and fuzzy way.
Okay.
Before one comes into clarity. And so, for instance, Jonathan Edwards, and by the way, John Calvin also said that John the Baptist, when he was in his mother's womb, as a baby within the womb, was filled with the Holy Spirit, was what Reformed people call regenerated, born again. You know what Baptists would say, born again in his mother's womb, but didn't have, so in some sense, knew God, so that when the Messiah came within 18 inches of him, he leaped for joy.
Right.
until years and years later.
So I think I understand. Maybe I could have said, certainly it would lead you to believe that it was Moses' first.
Oh, I just lost you again.
It would lead you to believe that this was Moses' first encounter with God, I'm supposing. But
Well, first encounter with the direct voice of God.
Yes.
But right. I wouldn't limit all encounters to self-conscious intellectual conversation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Jerry, we only have a couple of minutes left on our conversation here, but you're coming to Charlottesville. I want to remind our listeners that we're talking with Jerry McDermott. He's coming to Charlottesville for the Festival of the Book, March 24th, 2 o'clock at Barnes & Noble's. Please come out and meet Jerry, and you'll get to know his new book, Famous Stutterers. Jerry, as we sail off on the program, what would you say, kind of quickly, to any of our listeners who are searching for this relationship with Jesus? Do you have any closing comments about that?
I would say yes. The best place to find Jesus is with friends of Jesus. Mm. Find people who are friends of Jesus, who know Jesus. Go to a good church, a live, living church that really preaches Scripture, that is not afraid to buck the culture, which is very much against Orthodox Christianity. Mm. Go to an Orthodox Christian church and start hanging out and start getting to know those people. The best way to get to know Jesus is to find him in among his friends.
That's great advice. Jerry, thank you so much for being on the program. I want to say to you and to your family and to all our listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace.
Blessing
this
again.
Is Everyday Faith Radio. Jerry, see you next couple of weeks.
Heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need.